Now, time's moving on. It's 8:30. We're into overtime already, so we better not go too far into it. So we're going to read just a few verses together from Daniel chapter 5. And the story will be very, very familiar. It's the writing on the wall. It's always amazing, you know, we use sayings every day, and we feel to recall that they have their origin in the Scriptures. And for, of course, Belshazzar, the writing was on the wall. And it's a portion of Scripture which you will be familiar with. If it was written in any other book but the Bible, it would be unbelievable. And how the Lord, just in an instant, turned his life upside down and inside out. But then that can happen to you and to me. One visit to the doctor, turn your world upside down forever. And this man's life was literally turned upside down in a moment of time. Reading in Daniel 5, the first few verses, and then a few at the end of the chapter. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then was the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. And the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers and Chaldeans and the soothsayers. The king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing, show me the interpretation thereof, shall be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." In verse 25, "And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing, Mene, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians." Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him, that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Can we just bow for a moment of prayer? Our loving God and our eternal Father in heaven, we thank you for your presence this evening. We thank you for each and every one that has been enabled to come here. We give you thanks for health and strength, for soundness of body and mind, the temporal things of life. And even as we gather on this harvest evening, we are reminded that every good and perfect gift cometh down from thee. And our Father, we realize the spiritual blessings are from thyself as well. And grant us in the closing moments of this meeting the Spirit of God to come and to fall upon us, to open hearts and open minds, so much so that business might be transacted again in all of our lives. And we ask that your will be done in this meeting. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to leave a very, very simple thought tonight upon harvest time in a man's life. And that moment will come in your life, and that moment will come in my life. I believe that there is such a thing as harvest time in a believer's life. You and I are exhorted in God's word to be up and to be doing while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. But has always been the lot of some professing Christians never to involve themselves in the work of God. The world around them dies and goes to hell, but they never see any responsibility to go to a prayer meeting to pray for their salvation. And the Bible tells me about a day of reaping in eternity. The hymn writer puts it into these words, believer. When you're safe on eternity's shore, will you wish you could live your life o'er? When God asks for the fruit of your labor, will you offer him idle hands? And when it comes to the handing out of rewards for our service, are we going to stand before the throne of God empty-handed? We sowed sparingly and reap sparingly. Of course, the Apostle Paul says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You and I know in that portion of Scripture that the Apostle is dealing with monetary and material things. And in those matters, there is a sowing and a reaping. But also when it comes into the spiritual, there's also a time of sowing and a time of reaping. The Apostle Paul said, sow to the flesh, you'll reap a harvest. He said, sow to the Spirit, you'll reap a harvest. Sow to the flesh, and you shall of the flesh reap corruption. Sow to the Spirit, and you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And I wonder, in this harvest meeting, what has been your sowing? To the flesh, the world, and the devil? Or to life everlasting? Now, there's many people, and they find great pleasure in sowing the wild oats of sin. But then when the harvest appears and the sowing is over, there's not the same pleasure in the reaping. Because sin produces a devastating harvest. But we must take this from this meeting this night, that whatever I sow, that will I reap. He is a foolish farmer. He would sow his field with barley seed, and in the harvest expect to reap potatoes. You would say the man's a fool. Yet there are people today, and they feel they can live as they like,
and die without Christ, and God will throw open the gates of heaven to all and sundry, and they'll go sailing in. It's foolishness. It won't happen. Man or woman, if you're not saved, wake up tonight. It'll not happen. If you die in your sin, you'll not be in heaven. No matter what the preacher says. Whatever we sow, we will reap. And Christian, if you're not involved in the work of God, wake up. You'll not receive reward. Whatever a man sows, that's what he reaps. That's exactly how it was in the life of Belshazzar the king. We didn't take time to read much of the chapter, but the Bible speaks about a sinful feast in those opening verses. He was the grandson of the great Nebuchadnezzar. The man who reached a point in his life where he felt he could determine who would live and who would die. Until God stepped in and took a dealing with that man. It's the king's birthday. The aristocracy of the community are all assembled at the palace, and they're having a great feast. Now, lavish feasts, they were not uncommon in the kingdoms and empires of the old world. The place had become a place of drunkenness. When Nebuchadnezzar had conquered Jerusalem, they took the sacred vessels of the Lord out of the Lord's house. They brought them to Babylon. Now in this sinful feast, they're desecrating the Lord's vessels and they're drinking out of them. And they're worshiping gods of gold and silver and wood and stone. They're making a mockery of things that are sacred. Then something happened. Belshazzar, no matter how we look at him, was not a wise man. He lived as a fool. He died as a fool because he reaped what he sowed. And if we live like a fool, we'll die like a fool. And the Bible speaks about the fool. It speaks about his language. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And there are people. And they look across the beauty of this world and they say, it just happened. Deny the existence of the Almighty. That he spoke this world into existence. Started its beginning. But the literal reading of the verse is this. The fool has said in his heart, no God for me. We live in a day in Ulster when people have room for pleasure and room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Is that how you live tonight? The Bible talks about the last of a fool because we read in Luke chapter 12 of the rich farmer. And God had so prospered him, he really didn't know what he was going to do with what he had. He said, I'll pull down my barns, I'll build greater. Told his soul, take thine ease. God said, thou fool. Thou fool, this night. In all his living, he never thought he would die. There's people like that. They live as if they were never going to die. Now, there's not much you and I can take for granted. But friend, I don't want to disappoint you tonight, but there's this one thing you can be sure of. You'll die. The Bible says, appointed unto man once to die. And God said this. That was his last night.
Friend, if this is your last night, if this is your last harvest service, what's the reaping going to be in eternity? Is it going to be heaven or is it going to be hell? Because no matter how you look at the chapter, you're looking at a man's last night. That night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. That night. And if tonight death were to call you into its cold embrace, tell me where you would be in eternity. And people are gathering in the cemetery, and they're watching your coffin being lowered into Mother Earth. Tell me, will you be in hell that moment? And when the people have come into the church hall for a cup of tea to share sympathy with your loved one, tell me, where will you be? What will the harvest be? Belshazzar thought he could live as he liked. And of course, there's many people like that. And of course, this is man's day. By that I mean, he can live as he likes. He can do as he pleases. He can lie and he can cheat and he can curse and he can blaspheme and he can swear. He can do what he likes. It's his day. But as sure as man is a day, God will have a day. And just as we treat God in our day, so God treats us in his day. Now, God's day had come in the life of this man. How do you treat God in your day? Because the Bible says there's coming a day of righteous reckoning when God will judge the world in righteousness. Look at his sudden fear. That sinful feast is referred to in the verses we read together at the opening of the chapter. And had we read on down through to verse 9, we would have seen his sudden fear. Verse 5, in that same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand. At the height of his godlessness, at the height of his blasphemy, when the cup of iniquity was full, something awful but something supernatural happened. Finger of God appeared. And of course, we have to keep in mind that the finger of God is writing the record of our life. We read in God's word where he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live forever. Of course, the Bible reminds us of the finger of God on a past occasion. And when Pharaoh had hardened his heart and wouldn't let the children of Israel go out from under the heel or the house of bondage, remember, God sent the plagues. And of course, again, the magicians, the soothsayers, the astrologers, they were all summoned. And this was their verdict. Remember the frogs, remember those terrible days, said, this is the finger of God. This is the finger of God. Maybe the finger of God's been on your life. And the finger of God is writing the record of our life, for whatsoever a man sows, that's what he reaps. The day of sowing is over in this man's life. Now, there's the time of reaping. Thinking about the finger of God there, you'll see the fear of Belshazzar. In the verse 6 and 7, the Bible says the king's countenance was changed. His thoughts troubled him. The joints of his loins were loosed. His knees smote one against another. He cried aloud. The man's demented. He's in mental anguish. That word "cried aloud" literally means that the man shrieked like somebody who has gone insane. Of course, the Bible says, "He who hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Belshazzar was reaping the harvest that he had sowed, and Daniel is called in because the others couldn't read the writing on the wall, and Daniel is called in, and every word that Daniel speaks is like a hammer knocking nails into Belshazzar's coffin. In fact, in verse 22, Daniel said to him, "O Belshazzar, thou hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this." What did he know? Well, he knew of the goodness of God because God had blessed Nebuchadnezzar, his grandfather. And sometimes when people are blessed of God, they forget about God. Is that you tonight? When you had very little in this world as a Christian, maybe you've been in the prayer meeting every week. Now you have so much in this world, we never see you in the prayer meeting. That's how it was with Nebuchadnezzar. His heart was lifted up in pride. And Belshazzar knew that. And then Belshazzar not only knew of the goodness of God in his grandfather's life, but he knew of the punishment of God. And the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar fell into the hands of the living God. And God literally changed his heart. He became like a wild beast, his grandfather. And they chained him in the fields like a wild beast. And the Bible says his body was wet with the dew of heaven, lying like a beast behind the hedge. State of madness. And yet, that did not seem as a warning to Belshazzar. And I'm sure there's been many warnings in your life, as there has been in all our lives. Maybe there's a young person here, you're not saved, and you can recall other young people that you maybe knew, and tonight they're in eternity, they've been cut off in the prime of life. But you never stopped to think, what if that had been me? Or an older person, just living for the moment, not interested in eternity, living for what you can see and what you can have. But eternity is not in your reasoning. And suddenly everything changes, because the Bible tells us of his swift fall. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Listen, this night could change everything in your life. As I've already said, one phone call, one visit to the doctor, change everything for all time. The important thing is to be sure you're right with God. His day of sowing was over. His day of reaping has come. Death was the harvest. Of course, the Bible tells me that the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. There's physical death. There's spiritual death. There's eternal death. Separation from God. And friend, what must it be What must it be to be eternally separated from God? What must it be for a soul to be lost? We follow behind funeral processions. We mingle with people as the hearse wends its way to the cemetery. We talk about days of recession, we talk about politics, we talk about the price of houses. But my friend, if we could see within the veil to the agonies of a man who's died without Christ, our conversation would be different. And Christian, you and I could catch a vision of what it means for a man to go to hell. We would pray. And our prayer meetings would be packed. And what must it have been for Belshazzar that night to die in his sin? Though he knew of the goodness of God and the punishment of God. You know the gospel. Yet tonight, if you died, die without Christ. Harvest time in a man's life. This may be harvest time in your life. And how is it with your soul tonight? Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. If we live in sin and die in sin, lost. We live for Christ, we live with Christ. How is it with you tonight? Saved or lost? May God this night help you to realize this simple truth. I'll reap what I sow. Be sure you sow to the Spirit. Reap life everlasting. Let's bow together in prayer. Just while our heads are bowed together, can I ask you tonight, are you saved? Are you sure? The Bible says we are to make our calling and election sure. Friend, make it sure tonight. You can know you're saved and you can be sure. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Christian, are we sowing in God's harvest field? Or have we lost the vision and lost the interest? Everything else is crowded in. Now they're more important than praying for souls. We need to rededicate ourselves to God. And friend, if you're not saved and you feel you could help us, speak with us. Or Christian, why not in the quietness of your heart now just rededicate your life to the Savior?